Evening, brothers and sisters in Christ. It is my privilege to share God's word with you this evening. And I thought I'd share with you something that I had been reading recently, and sharing with others as well. And there's this lovely Psalm 57. And so perhaps we begin by reading this psalm. I will read it for us and invite you to meditate on the words of this psalm as we go through it, right? This is a psalm of David, right? And begins this way: "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory, awake psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O God, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." Those of you who are reading this from your own Bibles, you realize that there is a superscription to this psalm, and this is a psalm of David when he was fleeing from Saul, when he was running from Saul, and he was hiding in the cave. If you remember the story of David, you will remember that, David hadn't really done anything wrong. He'd simply been successful in serving his king, and Saul was jealous and sought David's life because Saul felt himself threatened by David's success. And so David had to run for his life. Imagine, you serve your boss well, and he gets upset angry with you, and he thinks you're trying to take his job, and then he persecutes you. And this is exactly what David was going through. These days, we don't have to run for our lives very much, but David had to run for his life. And you see David's cry, right? He describes what he's going through, calamities, this great disaster for him, the reproach of him that would swallow me up. They seek him, and he says, "My soul is among lions, and I lie among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows in their tongue a sharp sword, and they prepared a net for my steps." You can kind of imagine, David on the run. He might have had some good friends, some people he thought were his good friends, in the court of Saul, and among the soldiers of Saul, and he thought, they were their friends. But you can imagine, if you allow your imagination to drift a bit, that some of them would have wanted to curry favor with Saul and would have then, tried to trap David or say wicked things about him, and all this would just weigh on him. People whom he thought were his friends would turn against him. And this is such a common occurrence for all those who are believers, right? And many of the calamities we face in life are really because of people. This is a result of sin, and it is unavoidable. The Psalms and even the New Testament tell us that these adversaries that we have, okay, are often people whom we would regard as believers. And sometimes, just as David, right, these were all members of the family of Israel, and yet they would turn on each other. And sometimes, as David experienced in his own life, they turn out to be members of your own family, right? Those who are nearest and dearest to you. And we have certainly seen our share of this in our lives, in other people's lives as well. It saddens the heart. Especially when those who are near and dear to us, they dig a pit for us and they set traps for us. And they are the lions who are around us, ready to pounce on us and to reproach or to taunt us. And it is a great burden and a great distress and a great sadness. But in the midst of it all, David is distressed, but he is not completely discouraged, right? And in all these troubles, David reflects, first of all, and in this psalm, on God's mercy and goodness, and he's assured by the mercy of God. You know, elsewhere in the psalms, you read David when pleading for deliverance from his enemies, he acknowledges his own sin, and he's grateful for the mercy of God. Right. And that mercy, as you read here in verse 3 and in verse 10, this mercy is that hesed, that covenant mercy of God, that covenant love that God has for his people. Right. And so, you know, even as we think of what others have done to us, as David did, as he was thinking of what others were doing to him, he would also frequently acknowledge his own sin and be grateful for the mercy of God. And so likewise, when we are distressed by the persecution of others and by their wickedness, we do well to learn from David, the psalmist, to recognize our own sinfulness and first of all, plead with God for forgiveness and thank him for the mercy he has shown us, bringing us to salvation. But here, besides that, David also places himself entirely at God's mercy, knowing that actually, you know, it is God that will bring all things to pass. Right, verse 2, he says, God that performeth all things for me. Right, God that performeth all things for me. You know, he does so. David pleads for God's mercy as you read these words, right? Notice that David does this in, there is a certain certainty. Yeah, he is certain that God's mercy is vast. Okay, verse 10, that his mercy is vast, and mercy is great unto the heavens, and the truth unto the clouds. And it is definite, it is certain. Verse 3, he says, he shall, you know, and it's personally meant for him because he pleads for it, be merciful unto me. And he is confident, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. And even beyond that, he is even certain that this will be directed at his situation, because he sees there in verse 6, those of his enemies who have digged a pit for him, they have fallen into that snare, that trap themselves. David is certain of God's mercy. When we are in distress, are we certain of God's mercy? When we cry out to God, do we cry out with that certainty that God will answer? God will send from heaven and save. God will perform all things for those who are his beloved. He will work out all things for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. Do we have that confidence when we bring our petitions to God? When we come pleading for forgiveness for our sins, do we have that certainty, that knowledge that God will forgive those who confess to him? This is the cry of David, and it ought to be the cry of all those who call upon the name of the Lord. And then we see what David does in addition to calling out to the Lord. As in many of his other psalms, he gives us the model of praise. In spite of calamity, there is still so much to praise God for. And it's a very difficult thing to do, isn't it? How often do we, in our sorrow, in our difficulty, in our distress, how often do we turn our efforts to praising God? This is a model. David gives us a model to follow. Praise is always due to God. And David devotes his attention to the praise of God for the certainty of his mercy, for the certainty of his justice, for the certainty of his protection. And his desire, as you see there, is for God's glory to be seen by all. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, let thy glory be above all the earth. When God delivers us, when God rescues us from our enemies, when God rescues us out of trouble that we're in, it is for his glory, first of all, and for our good. And so we ought to cry with David, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. When you have achieved the victory, let the glory be God's. Let God have all that praise that is due to him. And David determines that when he praises God, he will give him wholehearted praise. Look at verse 7 to 9. My heart is fixed. I will sing praise. I'll wake up early, right? And I will, with psaltery and harp, praise you publicly among the people, among the nations, so that all will know that it is God who saves. Let God's people always be found praising him, whether in peace or adversity. And we are to give it our best effort always. And let us remember to do this, especially when we come into his house to worship him on the Lord's Day. Because that is when we praise God and sing unto him among the nations, we declare his righteousness and his praise. And so this psalm is for us, first of all, a reminder that there will be adversity. It will happen. It is almost unavoidable. And sometimes it comes from those who are nearest to us. It is about assurance, because we are certain of God's mercy, and we know that his promises are true, and he can always be relied upon to keep his promises, to keep his covenant, his promise of doing what is best for us. And then finally, we mustn't forget that in all this, right, in the midst of all this, there should always be that spirit of adoration where we adore God and we give him praise for who he is, for what he does, and for the future that we have that is certain in him. And so I'm also reminded of an old chorus that we use to sing, which tells us about this, right? Is your burden heavy as you bear it all alone? Does the road you travel harbor danger yet unknown? This is David, isn't it? Are you growing weary in the struggle of it all? Jesus will help you when on his name you call. He is always there, hearing every prayer, faithful and true. That's our assurance. Walking by his side, in his love we hide all the day through. He is certainly our refuge. And so when you get discouraged, just remember what to do. Reach out to Jesus. He's reaching out to you. If you are here this evening and every day in your quiet time, pour out your burdens to the Lord. He is waiting to hear from you. If you know someone who is burdened, pour out their burdens on their behalf. Let us as a church be praying for ourselves and for others. Even as we pray for the needs of the church, let us also remember the needs of ourselves and the needs of those who we know personally who are struggling, whether it is a physical infirmity or through a crisis in their families, in their work, in their lives. We know these people. Call out to Jesus for them. If you are in this crisis, call out to Christ. He will hear. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. This psalm, David gives us the example of how we will be in adversity, not infrequently, but we always have this assurance that you hear our prayers, that your mercy is true day to day, and your protection for your people is sure and certain. And so, Lord, we adore you and we praise your name and we declare that you are the righteous God, the God who saves, the God who loves us, the just, the faithful, and the true. Thank you for who you are and for all that you do for your people. And grant us now a blessed time of prayer as we bring our petitions before you. Cleanse us of sin and make us right before you, that this may be a blessed time. We ask in Jesus' name.